Attorney General Schimmel began his career as a prosecutor in 1989 in Waukesha County. He was later elected the District Attorney of Waukesha County, a position which he held until 2015 after being elected to his current office. Since that time, Attorney General Schimmel has focused on combating prescription opioid abuse, methamphetamine abuse, human trafficking, elder abuse, and child abuse. The Attorney General is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee and the nearby University of Wisconsin Law School. He and his wife, Sandy, and their two daughters still reside in Waukesha County, where they are members of St. Anthony on the Lake Parish. He's a Harley enthusiast, making me wonder whether he will be in Milwaukee for the 135th anniversary this year, maybe making sounds around my hometown of Wauwatosa, keeping me up late at night. And a member of the classic rock band Four on the Floor, I believe. Now, I do not see a bass guitar anywhere on the stage, so I don't think we're gonna get a set, but we are gonna get a talk. And so please join me in welcoming Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel.
It's the 115th anniversary of Harley-Davidson. And yes, I will be there on the motorcycle and also playing bass. I've managed to convince my campaign team that election year is a no fun allowed here, but I've managed to convince them that playing some festivals with the band isn't the worst place in the world to be. As long as, and they concede, as long as we get it up on social media and we don't suck. So, you know what? I know so many of you in this room, and so many of you are lawyers that I really admire as really brilliant intellectuals and, you know, people who graduated very high in their law school classes. I'm not one of those that graduated high in my law school class. I went to UW and I don't remember a lot of it because, well, it's UW. But I want to set the stage here a little bit, though. There's a judge in Waukesha County, and all you people from Waukesha County, just zip it. I don't want anyone yelling out who it is. There was a judge in Waukesha County, graduated near the top of his class at Harvard Law School. Very, very bright man. However, he wasn't always that interested in the things that us lawyers worried about. And one day I had an underage drinking trial in his courtroom, and a 16-year-old kid representing himself. I have the officer up on the stand. I ask all my questions. It's an open and shut case. There's nothing to this. But I finished my questioning, and I have no more questions. The judge says, okay, I've heard enough. I'm going to find you guilty. And to this kid's credit, I'm sitting here, to this kid's credit, he raises his little hand and, excuse me, Your Honor, can I ask the officer some questions? Nope, I've heard enough. I gave it a minute. Your Honor, this is tough to tell a judge this. I said, Your Honor, you have to ask them, you have to let him ask questions. And the judge said, okay, if you think it's going to do any good, go ahead. So, I don't know, near the top of his Harvard Law School class, not always. Being brilliant isn't always perfect. But anyway, thank you for the opportunity to speak here, and thank you for your involvement with Federalist Society. I don't have to tell you, we're at the crossroads in America. Is this country in 20 years going to look anything like what the Founding Fathers had in mind? And I'll posit, without the Federalist Society, the answer might be maybe not. But I think because the Federalist Society is so strong and is playing such an important role, I have great confidence. And boy, we're seeing, as the Federalist Society is making recommendations for appointments of great judges nationwide, if we could just get them through the Senate, this would be great. But you see such great recommendations happening, and that's going to make such a difference for decades to come. So thank you for what you do, for being involved in this. So it is an election year, and I've been reflecting back on the last 3.5 years, and I went and found some notes from some speeches I made in 2015. I got away with a lot smaller font back then. My eyesight has diminished, apparently. But, you know, I saw in the first couple of months, I used to talk in speeches about how coming to DOJ was like drinking from a fire hose. That has not changed. I've just learned how to drink from a fire hose. There is every day something new, unexpected, and exciting. And so often when the average person thinks about the Attorney General, they think of that top cop nickname. Maybe it's more official than a nickname, but not much more official than a nickname. They think of law enforcement, preventing drug abuse, stopping human trafficking, other public safety issues, and that is all true. And after 25 years in the Waukesha DA's office, that public safety stuff is still my happy place. It's what I love doing the most, and I haven't lost, it's in my DNA. And I'll take it. If the public wants to base the election this year on that issue, okay, I'll take that challenge. But as Attorney General, as you know, I also have much bigger responsibilities. I have a core duty to defend the laws our legislature has set for us and protect our state's sovereignty from the federal government. And I'm really proud of the role my team continues to play in defending federalism. I promised on the campaign trail, too, that, and I'm looking at those old speeches, that I would work hard to create and maintain a stable and predictable legal and regulatory environment. Regulatory certainty is critical to the employers and innovators and our economy in Wisconsin. And when you hear the chairman of Foxconn talk about why they come to Wisconsin, you know, right in the mix there is the sense of regulatory certainty here. I'm proud of the work we've done at DOJ to do that. We've been very successful and work very hard at it, whether it's under attack from the state, local, or federal level. Since I was elected, my team has focused on promoting that certainty and in ensuring that government and their agencies operate within the scope of the authority authorized by the legislature. And that starts by just enforcing the law the way it was written and defending the law the way it was passed by the legislature. And it doesn't make any difference to me whether I like the law or not when we make a decision, and nor does it to our team. And we have defended laws that we don't like. And Mr. Essenberg, just shh. That is my job. And you know, I love when I say that statement to the media and they'll immediately say, oh, which ones? So I'm glad you asked that, because that means we did our job well. If you couldn't tell the difference, then we did our job the way we're supposed to. But I can't divulge that because I would be violating my relationship with my client, right? I can't say, oh yeah, we defended them, but boy, were they wrong. Boy, did I hate them for passing that law. No. There's one I'll say, because they since changed the law. Misha's looking scared now, right? This is why we weren't big fans of that whole Murr case situation. Went all the way to Supreme Court, though, to defend Wisconsin law, and we won. And we didn't particularly like it. But that was our job, and we did it well. I can say that because the legislature, immediately after we won in the U.S. Supreme Court, turned around and changed Wisconsin law. So I feel like I'm not betraying my client now to say that anymore. The rest of them, I'm not going to say. But boy, we have been the center of so many battles. You know, Act 10, still fighting. 2 months ago, another lawsuit filed against Act 10. Voter ID, of course, still fighting. Right to work, still fighting, sort of. We've mostly won on that one. The redistricting thing, we thought we'd have a decision in February. Now, I don't know. But quite a battle, and I'm very proud of the work my team did on that. They really shined there in the United States Supreme Court. And, you know, defending TIF districts. Again, Rick, don't give him a mic. Just But that's Wisconsin law. And you can debate about the policy, whether you think that's a good idea or not. The legislature decided it is, and we think it's legal, and therefore we defended it. Probably the place where we've done the most work to help with regulatory certainty has been with Act 21. Act 10 got all the attention and the protesters, but Act 21 was really Governor Walker's signature piece of reform back right shortly after he got in office. And it has come up time and time again. The high capacity wells challenge, the sprinkler rule more recently. We've had to, when the Dairy Business Association sued the DNR over the way they were enforcing some rules, well, we sat down with the DNR, we took a look at what they were doing, we took a look at the law, and we said, this is not defensible. And when we have to make a choice, are we going to defend the law, or are we going to defend a government agency or an individual in government, we're going to defend the law. And we are a nation of laws, after all. And so we settled that case. And now we're being sued for settling the case. Both sides agreed. The DNR ultimately agreed with us, settled the case. DBA agreed that the settlement was right, but we're back in court because we're being sued for both parties agreeing to settle the case. But that's what we do. We fight. And regulatory agencies aren't always happy to hear from us. Sometimes when we show up, they're pretty unhappy. But I didn't run for Attorney General to make everyone happy, particularly regulatory agencies. And we attracted a really outstanding Solicitor General's office. I'm so proud of the team we've put together there with two former U.S. Supreme Court clerks, two Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals clerks, and a Sixth Circuit, right? Misha? Second. I know Seventh, the rest is. Remember, I'm just a middle of his class UW law school guy. But they're undefeated, our Solicitor General's group, and it's not because they've shied away from hard fights. They take them. They go looking for them, and that's what pleases me most. They're sitting over there in their insulated offices. They try to keep people like me from bothering them too much. We let them sit over there, and they're just looking for things that are wrong with the world and legally, and look for those fights. And how do we get them here? I don't know. I get asked this all the time. How do we attract them here? And I think it's a couple of things. One is we are the middle of the battle. This is it. There's definitely a front in the war on federalism, in the war on rule of law. There's definitely a front in this war right here in Wisconsin, and we're fighting all the time. And I think I'm just to be clear, I am not likening any attorney or anyone on my staff to a dog, but they're like hunting dogs. Your hunting dog does not want to walk with you on a leash on the bike trail. Your hunting dog wants to go out in the field and find birds. These folks want to find some birds, and they're out doing it. They're hunters. And I think that was, I think they saw that about Wisconsin, that there was a lot of fighting to be done. And I promised them that, listen, if you guys think it's the right fight, even I don't care if there's a chance or even a big chance that we could lose. If it's the right fight, we'll be in it. We'll go. And that's what we've been doing. And so they're here. And they fought many battles to defend the constitutional, the conservative reforms passed here, many battles with the federal government. I know there's at least one Dane County judge here, but I'm going to tell this anyway. You remember Saturday morning cartoons, right? My kids would look at me like I'm weird, because cartoons are on all the time, Dad. My brother and I used to get up early Saturday morning to watch the cartoons. Now, my girls do not get up early, ever. At least not voluntarily, not without someone dragging them. But the on Saturday mornings, they used to trick us into learning stuff, and you know Schoolhouse Rock, right? The best one, hands down, was How a Bill Becomes a Law. And little Bill singing the song to Timmy, what was his name? I don't know. The kid doesn't matter. He's singing the song, and he's telling him about getting introduced in one house and argued and debated and amended and mocked up and amended. And, but eventually they pass me, and then if the other house passes me in identical form, I go to the executive branch. And then if the executive branch, say the governor, thinks it's a good law for Wisconsin, he signs it and it becomes a lawsuit in the Dane County Circuit Court. You know your constitutional, you guys know this constitutional stuff. There's a lot of fighting going on, and these guys love it. So I'm thrilled. I'm so proud to have such a great team. And we've hired a few other really great lawyers who we just didn't have any room in the Solicitor General's division, and we've attracted some other really great lawyers that we've got in other divisions too. Like our Environmental Protection Unit, every time I hire a great lawyer to head that unit, they get stolen by the Trump administration EPA. So I can't hang on to people. That's the risk you take when you hire great people, is that somebody's gonna poach, and they are. And of course, the federalism battle. In 2013, running for election, and 14, running for election, that was a great campaign trail talking point. We're gonna fight back against an overreaching federal government. Holy cow, I had no idea how much fighting there was gonna be. And, you know, we have battled the EPA, the DOL, the DHS, the DHHS, the FCC, the FTC, the NLRB, the SSA, the CFPB, did I say DOR? I don't know. We have sued the whole alphabet soup. And a lot of them, we were leading here in Wisconsin and winning here in Wisconsin. Taking on, for instance, the NLRB and the franchise rule, or the Department of Labor and the overtime rule, or the persuader rule, the EPA and the Clean Power Plan, or Waters of the U.S., and really proud that right now we're leading the charge along with Texas, they're kind of hangers-on this one, against the Affordable Care Act, and we got them this time. I mean, it's been tried before, but this time, we've got them. We're going to take it out. It's an unconstitutional federal overreach. And finally, because of the Wisconsin Solicitor General's Office and Department of Justice, we're going to stop it. We're leading on so many other things, but of course, other priorities have included, of course, the law enforcement stuff. We have made the battle against the opiate epidemic our number one priority, and we are leading the nation in what we're doing in Wisconsin, not just at DOJ, every branch of government. Our legislature has passed laws that have been models for the nation. Our courts are taking on the incredible workload of doing drug treatment, our specialty courts, and taking on our DA's offices and our public defenders. All across the board, we're really working hard together to recognize you can't arrest your way out of a drug epidemic. We're arresting bad guys. Don't think for a second that's not happening. And but big ones. We're not worrying about the street level drug dealer who's supporting their habit. We're going to go get them. We're going to stop their behavior, and we're going to try to get them through a drug treatment court to get them back to being a productive, sober member of the community. But we're going after the big fish, and we're getting them. We're doing busts where, and I don't know if you see the press releases when we do them, they don't always get published, but, you know, taking out a ring where we get $1.3 million in cash from these guys who've never had a job really that the federal government knows about, taking out $1.3 million in cash, dozens of guns, pounds of illegal, dangerous drugs. We're doing great work on all that, and more than ever. But we've recognized we have to go after this from a public awareness side. If all we do is go after the supply side, somebody will supply the drugs, and we won't get out of this problem. We have to address the demand side, and not by arresting users, but by getting people back to being sober. And when we're talking about a state with a 2.9% unemployment rate that's about to get better, when Foxconn opens the doors, we better figure out a way to help those people get sober and be able to take those jobs. So we're working hard on these things, and proud of the Dose of Reality campaign, our drug disposal efforts. I haven't seen how we rank nationwide in the one we did just last Saturday, but for the past 3 years, we've been in the top three states every time. California and Texas are the only two that have ever had more than us. And there's 39 and 35 million people compared to our 5 million. I'm pretty pleased with Wisconsin collecting now just under 400,000 pounds of unused medications that are safely destroyed, not available for diversion, not being flushed down the toilet into our water supply. It's a win-win for everybody. And for the city of Indianapolis, because Covanta Energy burns this stuff to produce energy for Indianapolis. So everybody wins. We're taking an all-hands-on-deck approach and not looking for who to blame, but who can be part of the solution. And I'm really proud of that approach here in Wisconsin. That's the Wisconsin way to solve the problem. We're taking on a new front to methamphetamine in the North Woods in Wisconsin, and everybody in the southern part of the state, watch out. You think the opiates are bad? Wait until methamphetamine overruns your community. It's incredible, the addictive nature of it and the way it's so destructive to human beings when they start taking it. We're working on taking that on. Human trafficking, internet crimes against children. We've done so many other great things. We've got a child abuse resource prosecutor that's working with our DAs to handle those terribly difficult abusive head trauma cases that are tragic, but people need to be held accountable, and it's difficult for a local DA's office to take that on. We're doing great things with violence against women. Regional violence against women prosecutors and trainers all around the state now. We've taken on the sexual assault kit initiative in a way that I don't always brag about this, but the Obama administration Department of Justice praised us for the work we are doing. So I'll take it when I can get that. And we're gonna resolve a problem that's accumulated for over 20 years in less than three. We're taking on elder abuse, gun violence in Milwaukee by putting prosecutors there to get the people using guns to commit violence. We're taking on the school safety issue, but in ways that are going to make our schools less attractive or vulnerable targets, not in ways that make it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to exercise their Second Amendment rights. And we're going to make a difference. With the program we put in for the Office of School Safety, and the governor funded that with $100 million, and we're gonna have a lot of burning of the midnight oil between now and June 15th, because we're looking to get this grant money out into the hands of 3,100 schools statewide by then, so that when kids come back to school next August, our schools are already safer, and we'll have the safest schools in America, or among them. And the next frontier, I see some of my friends from the Alliance Defending Freedom here today. We know very well what the next frontier for us is. It's the First Amendment. Religious freedom, freedom of speech. They're all coming under attack from some places we never, 20 years ago, I don't think we would have thought it'd be getting attacked from there. But we all need to come together and make sure the First Amendment does not get watered down. And I encourage all of you to consider attending the Alliance Defending Freedom conference. I was the Nebraska AG reached out and made the invitation last year, and I ended up going, and it was some of the best time I've ever spent. The confluence of constitutional law and liberty and religion all in one place, it was really a rewarding experience. I'd encourage you to look into it. Talk to the representatives from there today and hook up with it. But anyway, I'd love to take any questions you have if I have any time left. I do, right? Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to take your questions, because otherwise I tend to ramble on and on forever. I'll even take them from Rick Essenberg. You're kidding. Okay, thank you. Yes.
So I'm just curious, what have you found surprising or unexpected about the job after you got elected, now that you've been experiencing it? What did you know?
I thought, coming from the DA's office, or good number of the nights, somebody called me at night to tell me so-and-so burned a house down, we found a dead body, we're interviewing a sexual assault victim, whatever. You know, and then the next morning, you're just struggling to try to get a complaint charged, get that person held, and then get to trial. I thought after the excitement of all of that, and I had so many great experiences as a prosecutor, that coming to DOJ was going to be kind of bureaucratic. I thought I was going to, now I go from an office of 45 people, right? I knew all their kids, and I knew the law enforcement, coming to office of 800 people. I thought it was going to feel administrative and bureaucratic. That's the biggest surprise to me, is nothing could be further from the truth. Every day is something I didn't expect, something exciting. And as like with all these things I'm talking about, it's important. Everything has gravity. I'm never just doing anything bureaucratic or administrative. It's always important. That's the most surprising thing. And there's no end. I mean, if we could get a little more bandwidth, we'd find even more stuff to go fight about. But we, at some point, got to pick your battles, because you only have so much in resources. Hey, Paul. Oh, good. Thank you, Judge.
We hear a lot.
Do you want to brag on any of your clerks that we hired? Or?
They're phenomenal, and I'm sure they're doing a great job for you. We hear a lot about the relationships between the National Department of Justice and the bureaucratic state in Washington. I don't want to use the term deep state, but I think you know the phenomenon that
I've heard of
speaking
it.
About. What is the relationship between your office and the state administrative agencies? And who in your office is tasked with managing that relationship?
You know, there's certainly kind of a deep state in the state, too. But at the federal level, they're drinking pure grain alcohol, and here maybe it's a Miller Lite, but it's here. It's certainly here. That's been one of our bigger challenges, and you know, Delaney's been, my chief of staff has been very involved in this, because we have frequently, we have to go talk to the governor's office or the department administration and tell them, oh, you got an agency that's doing something they're not supposed to be doing. And a lot of times, you know, the secretary and the upper level administration, they can't keep track of the every day-to-day activity of all the, some of these agencies, thousands of people in there, and they can't keep track of all of it. And it's really hard to ferret it all out and then to try to get someone to do something about it. But that's been kind of a labor of love for us to get involved in it. But our relationships with the secretaries at the agencies are very good. And we're usually able to make our case and convince them.
Can I have a follow-up? I feel like a press corps here.
Do you know who you are?
To make it even more concrete, I do this from the bench all the time. To make it more concrete, counsel, We sometimes have cases where the agency takes one position and the DOJ takes another position, which is fairly unheard of, but it happens now. And has that, in your experience so far, has that happened where your position differs from that of the agency legal staff?
Yes.
And how do you resolve it?
Sometimes, like with the matter involving the Department of Public Instruction, we have said the superintendent of public instruction believes that a law passed by the legislature doesn't apply to him. The legislature intended the law to apply to him. He says it can't apply to me. And ultimately, when that choice has to be made, when there's a conflict like that, we're going to defend the law. And then we told the superintendent, you should ask for representation, and we will support any petition you make in the Supreme Court to have your arguments heard, to be able to file a brief on your behalf, to have your interests considered by the court. We will support that because it's a difficult spot, because normally we would represent, and we do all the time represent the superintendent of public instruction and his staff on issues. But when it comes to the conflict between what an agency says and what the law says, we defend the law. Of course, he fired me, oh, by the way. And I said, you can't fire me, I quit. Very well. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.